Hi, it's Karen Webster for Payments.com, and I'm here with Richard Stiegel, CEO and co-founder of Urban FT. Richard, thanks for joining me today.
Pleasure, Karen.
So let's talk a little bit about Urban FT, starting with you guys have been in the news a lot lately, making a little bit of noise around a variety of things that you are doing to reinvent the financial services space. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing.
Sure. I think first and foremost, we've set out to deliver a range of digital banking solutions that allow small bank and non-bank issuers to catch up with and even leapfrog what the big banks are doing. And more recently, as you've picked up on, we announced about 3 weeks ago a partnership with Sprint, where we'll be powering their Sprint Money Express from early next year. And we look at that as delivering their customers as a non-bank issuer a range of financial services as part of a lifestyle application. So it's bringing together the best of breed banking functionality. It's bringing together personal financial management tools, but it's also bringing into it things that are more relevant and meaningful to their particular customer base. So things like local deals that are going to save their customers money, the ability to load airtime from their account, the ability to do international money remittance, peer-to-peer payments to other Sprint members. So that's one of the, I guess, flagship clients that we've won and announced over recent times. We've also recently completed a small acquisition of a company called Whippet, which focused very much on the MVNO space. And that's something which allowed us to move from servicing not just bank issuers, but as I've referred to now, the non-bank issuers as well. And in particular, it's given us a strong foothold in the MVNO space, so the mobile virtual network operators. And in particular, we now serve Boost Mobile, and in the last few months, we've signed up another 3 smaller and lesser-known MVNOs as well. So I think one of the good things is that since properly launching our product and going live with it late last year, we've had a tremendous amount of traction. We've got well over 500,000 end users on the platform now. And, a lot of success, and we're starting to get the attention of banks as well as non-bank issuers.
It's interesting to hear you describe your platform, and you talk about it in the context of lifestyle and lifestyle financial solutions. And when I think of lifestyle, I don't necessarily think of my bank or even my mobile banking app. I think of it as more of a utility. So what is it about what you're doing that is inspiring a whole different persona for financial services?
Well, number one, banking apps have evolved to become far more than just checking balances and seeing whether or not we've been paid or a payment's come out. We now want to see and get a feel for where are we spending our money each month? Where could we be saving money? When it comes to saving money, is it just about saving money on how and where we spend our money, or is it a case that financial institution could be creating more brand touch points and creating more meaningful interactions with their customer by suggesting where the customer spend their money? And so, as I gave the example a minute or so back about what we're doing for Sprint, if you look at some of the things, we're actually now working with a small regional bank called Axiom Bank on their DDA products. And in this case, they and some of their other programs using their bank are able to now deliver real-time notifications as to where their customers can be saving money. And this is based on the customer's spending behavior. We're also able to give meaningful data through the PFM solutions that allow the customers to get a snapshot as to where they could be saving money. We're able to allow people to plan events through their app. We allow people to do retrospective splitting of the bill for certain items. And so by giving this functionality to the end user, as I say, you create far more brand touch points for the bank, you're creating far more engagement, you're increasing lifetime value, and in particular, you're creating a new revenue stream for that banking customer, a stream that doesn't affect the customer in that the customer is not paying for the solution, and something that complements what is otherwise a very thin margin that banks are currently dealing with.
Interesting. So You also describe your customer, who is not the end user, your customer, as banks and non-bank issuers. What, as you think about the capabilities of your platform, who is this best suited to? Obviously, you're going to tell me both, but is there a particular profile of a customer, of a financial services customer or a non-bank issuer that is best suited for what you have?
I wouldn't say there's a particular profile as such. I think every, whether it be a bank or a non-bank FI that you're dealing with, both want to provide an exceptional solution to the customers that they serve. Now, those customers are going to be of varying demographics. You could have anyone from sort of baby boomers down to Gen Y wanting to use a service. And so really our platform allows any issuer, bank or non-bank, to actually say, all right, this is the feature set I want to deliver in order to better serve this demographic. And we, or our platform, provides the tools for them to be able to do that. In terms of our customer being the issuer themselves, absolutely there are some that are more likely to work with us than others. But generally, it's always the smaller issuers. And that smaller issuer can be a Sprint or it can be an Axiom Bank. You know, they've both got a need to provide an exceptional service to their end users so that they can be competitive in whatever market they're trying to serve.
Interesting. So obviously mobile is such a game changer for every facet of our lives. And as I think about financial services and digital banking, as you describe it, there are obviously things that are table stakes you have to have. And then there are the things that really become those differentiating elements that allow your customer or a bank or non-bank issuer to distinguish themselves. How would you, thinking about your platform, how would you put your feature function set? What are the things that you have that are essential? I mean, what are the things that you think really represent those differentiating attributes?
I think first and foremost, what we're trying to do is turn the experience from something that is somewhat of a negative or a boring experience to do a very specific task that someone's been putting off for a period of time into an experience where they're wanting to actually log on. They're either wanting to complete a transaction or they're looking at what they can do with their money, whether it be make a purchase, whether it be moving it into different savings opportunities that they've got within the applications. It's really about turning a positive into a negative. And it's not about just providing a better looking UI to what the competitors are doing. It's actually about providing meaningful functionality. And, you know, as I've said, it's not just providing core banking functionality that the customers now expect. It's about coupling that with things that have social relevance, things like deal and event discovery, things like reviews, seeing where friends have been, seeing what sort of deals your favourite restaurant might be. A lot of these things are automatically displayed because the app knows where you shop and where you eat and where you get certain deals. So it's able to actually flag some of the opportunities, whether it be deals, whether it be reviews, that are relevant to where you shop, where you spend your money. And by doing that, the user is finding this to be a far more rewarding outcome, something that is far from a negative experience, and something that they're actually happy to browse on when they've got a few minutes of spare time, rather than something they're logging in very quickly, do a very specific function, and then log out to go do something more interesting.
Yeah, and it really does pay off your description as a lifestyle application as opposed to a financial utility. It's interesting to hear you describe breadth of capability and how it really does support the lifestyle of the user.
And, you know, I'd add one thing to that, Karen. We're not out to actually compete with the banks. We're not a B2C brand where we're saying the banks stink, stop using them, come to us. We're actually wanting to complement what the banks do. We're wanting to improve the experience a bank has with its customers and vice versa. So, you know, this is something that's really aimed at saying we have a very trusted infrastructure in place, being the banking infrastructure. How do we make that more appealing and how do we make that rewarding for all stakeholders involved?
Well, and you're giving the smaller issuers and also the non-bank issuers the capability of a platform that they probably wouldn't be able to build themselves and take advantage of themselves. So you're giving them a lot of depth and breadth.
Final question.
I mean, obviously, you guys have been on your own journey as you've evolved your thinking and this concept and even your go-to-market approach. Give us a little peek inside the journey over the last year that Urban FT has been on.
Wow. You know, just over a year ago, you could have classed us almost as a pre-revenue company. And we're going to close this year well over $10 million in revenues, which is stunning for a company of our size. We've grown from 12 staff this time last year to nearly 37 staff. We've got an amazing tech hub based down in San Diego where all of our core technology is developed. We develop all of our core technology onshore. We've got an amazing care and compliance team based in Pasadena, California. We've got an exceptional product and head office functionality based in New York. And one of the challenges, I guess, we've had as we've grown has been to make sure that we maintain a really agile, positive, and thought-provoking culture, something that's always helped us move along very nicely. And I think the second thing is to make sure that as we're taking these customers on, we meet and exceed their expectations. And, you know, it's very hard to do that these days when everyone operates in such a compliance-heavy and compliance-orientated environment. Clearly, that's got to be something that's at the top of everyone's priority list when looking at things like this. But you can't lose sight of the fact that there are things that customers need, and you've got to find a way in which to deliver those needs within the compliance goalposts that have been laid out for us. So the journey over the last 12 months has been an exceptional one, been one of tremendous growth. I think we're poised for some amazing growth next year. And, you know, we've got an amazing team, people that work to deliver this. And we've got some amazing clients that have put tremendous support behind us by backing us to provide their solutions. And, you know, hopefully that's a sign of things to come.
Well, it's been fascinating to get your perspective on the reinvention of a space that lots of people are trying to reinvent, but you've clearly thought it in a very different way and are deploying it, obviously, to listen to you describe your results in a way that is also very meaningful to both your customers and the end user. We certainly look forward to hearing all about your plans for 2016 in due time, but I do appreciate your time today. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Karen.